I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The good news, your country just got a $1 billion aid package. The bad news, your next-door neighbor is looking like he might invade you. That's Ukraine's outlook today. First, Russian President Vladimir Putin said he reserves the right to use military force in Ukraine. Then Secretary of State John Kerry showed up in Ukraine's capital, Kiev, with $1 billion in loan guarantees for the country. And this.
I come here today at the instruction of President Obama to make it absolutely clear the United States of America would prefer to see this de-escalated.
The BBC's David Stern is also in Kiev today. He says the U.S. loan guarantees come at a good time for Ukraine.
Well, Ukraine, in addition to its numerous problems, obviously in Crimea and in the east of the country, and the fact that the new government has to assert its authority, also is facing an economic crisis. They're facing default, and they have a very large gas bill, in fact, that they have to pay the Russian gas monopoly, Gazprom. This has been a chronic problem for them. So the $1 billion will come in very handily. It's not going to cover all of their debts or all their problems at the moment, but it does go a long way, and it obviously will help stabilize the economy somewhat. So I imagine that this is very welcome news indeed, but of course the Ukrainians are looking for more than just money from the West and from the United States.
Yeah, what does Ukraine really need right now?
Well, Ukraine is facing this growing crisis in Crimea, and there's a recognition that they can't, they don't have the political or the diplomatic or the military means to face down Russia. They're a country of 45 million with an army that's dwarfed by Russia, should this become a conflict. But even then, they can't really threaten anything. So they've been very studiously, very assiduously trying not to give Russia an excuse or a pretext. They said they will not fire the first shot. But at the same time, they say they need Western help. And so they're looking for something. It's not clear exactly what, but something with teeth in it, sanctions, bank account freezes, something that will hit the Russian, if not the country and the economy, then at least the leadership, and make them think twice about anything that they might be planning, or force them back into the bases on the Crimean Peninsula.
So lots to be concerned about in Kiev. What is the biggest worry on the street today?
Well, the biggest worry is war. This is, without a doubt, the ongoing crisis. People are very much afraid that this is what it's going to turn into. And it's not just a question of what Russia's intentions are. They're afraid that a stray bullet or an unintended incident could spark this tinderbox. So there's any number of things that could happen. But most of all, people, when I talk to them, they are extremely afraid that that what Russia wants is a war with Ukraine. But they also say that they will fight if it comes to that.
Right. We heard from John Kerry a moment ago. He's in Kiev. How's that visit been viewed by protesters in the interim government there?
Well, he was received very well in Independence Square, as you've heard. He said that we are going to help you. We are helping you. And that they're planning for more assistance. He visited the barricades here that are still up, and he visited one of these shrines, the many, many, many shrines that are around Independence Square and elsewhere, where the protesters were killed. So there is a feeling of hope, but also the Ukrainians have learned to be a bit cautious about Western assistance. This has been going on for more than 3 months, and for the most part, that what they've been getting from the West and from the European Union are expressions of concern or expressions of condemnation. But then now what they're really looking for is something finite, and as I say, something with teeth.
I'm sure that $1 billion loan guarantee is going to be helpful, but what are the protesters asking the U.S. to do? What can the U.S. do at this point?
Well, it's not really clear what they I think the protesters, as I say, they're looking for something, but they're really not sure themselves. They are looking for something that will push Russia to make a decision to de-escalate, as they say, to stand down. But the big question is, what is that? I think that the U.S. and European policy advisors aren't clear about that either. Mm. So there's a hope that perhaps that the United States and the European Union have enough wherewithal, that have enough creativity, that they can come up with a package that will push Mr. Putin to change his mind. But of course, Mr. Putin probably has figured this into his calculus and is may be ready for whatever the West delivers to him.
The BBC's David Stern there in Kiev. Andranik Migranyan directs the Institute for Democracy and Cooperation. It's a Russian-funded think tank in New York with close ties to the Kremlin. He rejects the accusation that Russia has acted irresponsibly in Crimea.
There is no invasion, and this is the reality. According to a treaty between Ukraine and Russia, Russia has a legitimate right to have their up to 25,000 troops, and now Russia has a little more than 10,000.
And yet Putin has not ruled out further military action, so the world has to believe that invasion is still on the table.
That's true. Nothing is out of table. You know, if he asked the upper house of Russian parliament to give him this authority, it means that this is not just empty words. This is a reality. But as he mentioned and his press secretary Peskov mentioned, one thing is to have the right to do something. Another thing is to implement this right, which means if nothing threatened the life and security of Russian citizens and Russians and Russian speakers, there is no need for use of force.
In the meantime, President Obama said today that Russia's actions in Ukraine will drive other countries away from Russia's sphere of influence. And we're hearing, indeed, from Western Europe that while they may be uncertain about how to respond to Russia right now, they're more suspicious of Putin today than they were a month ago.
Putin didn't show any aggressive actions. If Western leaders and media were very enthusiastic about so-called uprising of nation against tyrannical rule, which is, you know, very funny sounds, because, you know, Maidan and mobsters are practically commanding the parade in Kyiv. Putin didn't do anything. That's why I can't understand what is the problem for Westerners. Why is the reason of this kind of reaction?
Regardless of how you view the narrative in Kyiv, you have to recognize, you have to admit that Putin is isolated today.
Oh, he is not isolated. Listen, this is not 90s, early 90s. Russia is not in shambles. Russia doesn't have president always drunken and hanging around begging for financial and political support. And not all roads now go to Washington or Brussels. There are other roads going to Beijing, to Delhi, to other places, and the world is becoming different. And every authority, every president who would like to be respected would act in a way how Putin is acting at this moment. Very responsible, but very resolute and very determined to act if there is a threat for Russian citizens and their security.
Mr. Mikronian, how worried are you right now?
I am very worried, and I know...
Worried about what?
I'm worried that might be in the west of Ukraine and in the west in general, there'll be miscalculations of current situation. Some diplomats and politicians, they are far away from the reality. They can miscalculate and mistreat the situation, and especially they can overestimate their leverage and create a serious tension.
Andronik Mikronian directs the Institute for Democracy and Cooperation in New York. It's a Russian-funded think tank in New York with close ties to Russia's leadership. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.